You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgee.
Talk money.
Yeah. You picked out that song for me. Excellent.
I think it's appropriate.
It is.
For this
it
hour.
Is.
Bob Burgee.
It is.
Bob Burgee is here. We're ready to kick off our Tuesday Mainstay hour.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
How have you been? It's been a minute since we've been able to catch up.
I know. I had some obligations last week, and I know we played a previous show, so thank you for doing that. I was actually teaching a class at Sacred Heart. So
you are truly an educator.
Well, you know what? I follow in the footsteps of one, so I really enjoy that part.
Yeah.
It's very fulfilling. I like it a lot. But our friends over at Ascension Healthcare, they have classes.
What is something that they need to know about when it comes to finances then? Because, you know, you don't think medical, finance, you know, you're wondering where's the connection.
Exactly. Well, last week's class was on solo aging, okay? Mm-hmm. So by definition is solo aging is, you know, when you're on your own, and it actually means when you have no kids. To take care of you, you know.
Yeah.
So solo aging, obviously you're on your own, no spouse, and actually no children. So all the challenges associated with that, and it's not the topic of today's show, but it's a great topic for those that may be entering that phase of their life or are meeting challenges in living it. So, but there's a lot of interesting things about it, you know, just staying active, staying focused, having a higher purpose, whether that's volunteering or at your church. So, a lot of recommendations for folks that are, you know, trying to get through this life as they're aging solo. It's a difficult time, especially in this day and age, right? We're met
There's
with
a lot of
so
isolation.
Many challenging, and especially and solo aging doesn't have you don't have to be a senior, you know, but anybody that is really isolated and it's a difficult time. So if you have, you know, a neighbor, a friend, or an acquaintance even that is, you know, aging solo, please reach out to them. You can certainly go for a walk, check in on them, socially distance, and, you know, make a difference in somebody's life, right? But
yes.
All right. So today.
Today.
We are going to talk about the ways retirement has changed over the last 25 years, really since the 1990s. Came across a great article. It's an article out of a publication called The Money Crashers. It's, you know, I've got a couple of publications that I really enjoy pulling material from. You know, The Motley Fool is one. There's another one, Horse's Mouth. It's excellent. And, you know, you'll Nerd Wallet. We've talked about that. But this is Money Crashers. It's an excellent resource for, you know, financial education. Now, in this episode of this show, we are going to turn back the clock. And, you know, if our good friend Mike Wiggins is listening on the way home, you know, he'll be able to identify with a lot of these things. But so we're going to start by talking about where we have been, okay?
Yes.
So this goes back to the year 1988. So it really covers retirement plans and how retirement has changed since the 1990s to now. So just for kicks, I got my start in this business in 1988. That's when I really started doing a lot of investment, wealth management, financial planning, even estate planning, and paying attention to things like taxes, wealth transfer issues, and, you know, retirement planning. But 1988, you're shaking your head. You don't remember that time.
Well, okay. I mean, I was a child. I was a kid, but yeah.
That's right. Okay. Here, let me start by saying.
I was a genius. Yeah. And I knew everything.
Oh, yeah. That's what you are now. Okay. Let's start by talking about the effect of inflation. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
In 1988, I almost can't believe these numbers. Okay. Because I was an adult and I was working. But in 1988, gallon of gas, mm-hmm. price of a gallon of gas, under 70 cents a gallon.
Man.
Okay.
That's hard to believe.
Yes.
It's hard to just even, like, is that a real history? Like, is that real in history?
Well, wait till you hear the rest of these. I took some things that everybody can identify with. Okay. This is a crazy thing. Everybody's real estate crazy now, right? Look how much prices have increased in just the last 5-10 years even. But in 1988, the median price of a home was $72,000, okay? Now, that's in the United States. That includes the crazy prices, in New York and mm-hmm. California and everywhere else.
That's insane.
So maybe in Pensacola, Florida, it was what, you know, 25,000
if that's on average across the country.
That's right. Because, you know, we're still.
This is 1988.
This is 1988.
Like
I know, we were
all alive. This isn't like
1888.
We're not. you double check. Do you have your glasses on?
I do.
I'm just
okay.
Teasing.
Wait till you hear this one.
Oh man.
The average rent. Now it didn't say for a average rent paid. Mm-hmm. Okay, by an American, $411 a month. Okay, that's
unheard of.
Yeah, that's low, but maybe, you know what was it here? I have no idea.
Right. I bet we could probably find out those numbers, but I was even saying this morning, because we were talking about rent somehow, we got on that subject, and I was saying I saw a house for rent for $2,700 a month here in Pensacola. Hmm. I mean, in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay. Well.
A house, 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom,
$2,700. 1 bathroom?
1.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you better give me at least a porta potty outside for $2,700.
1 bathroom. I don't know about 2,700 there.
Ooh.
Okay.
Anyway, so 400 a month in 1988 on average. Okay.
Okay. Now these are very interesting numbers. This kind of gets into, you know, really what I do and really hits home with me. Okay. The average mortgage interest rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage was, can you even imagine? Now these are the late 80s. Okay, and notorious for high interest rates, but fixed interest rate mortgage, 30 years.
750. No.
7.5? Is that what you're saying?
750, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good guess.
Is it?
No, it's not. No, it's a bad guess.
Why? Okay. What was it?
Because the average mortgage interest rate in 1988 was 11% fixed.
Wait. In 1988, it wasn't 7. Sorry, I said 750. I meant 7.5. I'm trying to do two things back here. But wait. 11%? That's
you're talking about credit score. I'm talking about mortgage interest rate. No, the average mortgage interest rate in 1988, 11%.
No.
I don't know if you remember this, but you could buy down.
Why so high?
Well, why? Because the Fed raised interest rates. And it was just a difficult time. I think 88.
Because everything else was so cheap.
88 was really high interest rates are during the 80s were blamed on the Carter administration. Right or wrong, they were, interest rates were very, very high. Mm-hmm. You know, by the same token, CD rates were very high, especially in the early 80s. So we're just talking about 1988 because that's when I. You know, not that that's some milestone year, but that was the year I got into this, and it just shocks me when I read these figures. But
Now, can you give all those numbers for today in 2021?
Well,
do you have the average?
Well, 30-year fixed rates are in the very low threes. Okay, very low 3% range. Okay,
right now,
15-year fixed is somewhere between 2.25 and 2.5. 15-year fixed mm-hmm. rate mortgages, okay? So that's, you know, 2.25, 2.5% from free money, right? Very low, very low. And these are fixed rates. The other thing about 1988, an 11% mortgage with a buy down of 2 points. Are you familiar with this? This is a way of you could buy down your interest rate by the use of points, okay, for every, yeah, it's, okay, it's kind of crazy. I don't want to get too much into it, but it, you know.
It seems a little difficult.
It was a way of getting into a home, okay, and reducing your payment, okay, by, you know, by using points to lower your payment, if that makes sense. And points represented, I think, 1% of the outstanding balance, $1,000 per $100,000 of outstanding balance. I don't want to get into points. I think the 11% is shocking enough. But now points, you know, a lot of people don't use points because points are so low now that they don't make a big difference in reducing your monthly payment, okay? That's for another time, right? Now, here's the one that really shocks me. If you put $100,000 into the S&P 500 in 1988, what would it be worth now, Jenna? Any idea? $100,000 in 1988, what would it be worth now if you bought the index, the S&P 500?
I'm afraid to even guess.
Okay. It would be worth $1.8 million. I know. It's
what?
I was working then, you know, so it's kind of crazy.
Do you know anybody who ever did it?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people had $100,000 in the market in 1988 and specifically in the S&P 500. Of course, you know, 1988, it's 2021, that was 33 years ago, you know, amassing $100,000 and putting it in. What did I say? 33 years ago.
33 years.
You know, maybe these people are very old and doing very well, but you know, it's a shocking number, right? So
that's
$100,000 becoming $1.8 million over 33 years.
I mean, now that could be a good investment.
That's a great investment. Okay. By the same token, $10,000 would become $180,000. Right. You know, so.
So do you recommend people doing investments like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, time is your friend when you're investing
time
money.
Time is your friend.
Time.
Patience
is your friend.
Also.
Yes. Yeah. You have if you have a long investment horizon, you know, I'm not saying put your money in the market and forget about it, but when you are young, you can weather the bumps and bruises along the way. And you know, the market has done outstanding over the last 33 years. It has done well even before that. So over the last 10 years, you know, it's done, you know, tremendously well. So you know, we're not you know, the gist of these figures I'm sharing with you is how times have changed. Okay, one other factoid. Okay. Piece of history is in 1988, something we talked about a lot because the amount was so low, there was a federal estate tax exemption. Okay, how much money could you die with and have it passed to your heirs tax-free with no federal estate tax? That amount was $600,000. $600,000 in 1988. It remained that amount for the next 10 years. Okay. Right now, the federal estate tax exemption is $11.7 million. Very few people have a federal estate tax problem. But, you know, as recently as 1988, doesn't sound that long ago, although it was 33 years ago, the federal estate tax exemption was $600,000, remained at $600,000 until about 1997, and then went up from there. And like I said, it's $11.7 million. Now.
Wow.
Very interesting. Okay.
Hey, I did just find, what did you say the average rent was like 400 for the United States?
411.
411?
Yeah.
So that's in 1988. Well, right now, the average rent across the United States, with the cheapest being in West Virginia for $725, the highest being in Hawaii, of course, for $1611 on average.
Yeah.
But the average rent in America, last checked, is $1098. So yeah. $1,000.
So actually, that hasn't gone up as much as everything else.
It's not that bad.
No, no.
It really isn't. Yeah. But gas is like $3.11.
Yeah.
So we need get that together.
That's right. And the market has done well. The market has doubled 4.5 times since 1988.
Here's a cool question, Bob.
And yes.
Bob Burgi is here, winning with Main State Financial. It's 1020 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Get to hang out. 850-437-1620. Do you know the average salary that was in 1987 or 1988? Did you take a look at that number?
No, I didn't.
That's a pretty
I didn't look at that one.
Our listener, and this is Jacques, he says this is all very fascinating. It is very, I love things. I love looking at the change in
it's
time.
Only 1988. You
it
know,
really
that,
isn't that
that's
long ago.
That's really not that long ago. Okay.
It's a whole human,
you know, during my adult life. So, but no, that would be interesting. And maybe our caller can look it up and share that with us. Okay. So we're talking about how much things have changed. We've kind of laid the groundwork for how much things have changed since 1988. That's not the special date. This is since the 1990s, how retirement has changed. Okay. You're laughing over there. Okay.
Well, I'm not laughing. I'm more so like, oof, the average income was less than 20 grand a year in 1988.
You just looked it up. Okay.
Oh, I got fingers on the Google.
Less than 20,000. Interesting.
Ouch.
Interesting.
$19,334.04 on average.
Okay.
Woo.
All right. So much for memory lane. Okay. So.
It was good.
Probably the most important change in the last 25, 30 years in retirements is pension plans. Pension plans are also called defined benefit plans. Pension plans have not disappeared. A lot of employers offer pension plans. There are a lot of pension plans with government employees. There's a lot of pension plans, you know, still in the private sector with very large companies. But the fact of the matter is, pension plans have gone from, in the early 90s, from over 200,000 pension plans in the United States to under 50,000. You know, that's, in the greatest country in the history of the world, arguably during the greatest 30 years, you know, in the history of this country, defined benefit plans for employees have really disappeared. So a lot of people, you know, if I'm meeting with somebody that works for the government, somebody that works for, let's say, a municipality, the county, you know, certainly public school teachers, or somebody that works for the federal government or mm-hmm. or flat out the state government, they're part of typically a state or federal government sponsored pension plan. You know, there's also other ways of putting money away, but oftentimes I've noticed a lot of these people live better in retirement than they do when they're working, because they have a nice pension plan. They're getting Social Security benefits. In addition, there was along the way a defined contribution plan, possibly a 403B, a 401A, and they contributed to that along the way as well. So, but the absence or disappearance of pension plans on the landscape is something I've certainly noticed over the last 30 years. All right, the second thing is Social Security benefits. Okay, Social Security benefits have been around for the last 33 years, but a lot of people don't know this. Over the last 30 years, the real payout, meaning adjusted for inflation, the purchasing power of your Social Security benefits has decreased by over 30%. The amount has gone up over time, but the purchasing power has decreased 30%. So what that means is the amount of your Social Security benefits and the increase over time has not kept up with inflation. And I'll give you an example of this. Between 1975 and 1984, Social Security benefits increased by an average of 8% per year. And I'm talking about somebody that's already receiving it. 8% per year, Social Security benefits went up between the years of 1975 and 1984. Between the years of 2009 and 2020, Social Security benefits went up an average of 1.38%. Okay.
That was between when and when?
Between 2009 and 2020. So those 11 years, they only went up 1.38%. Now, there was a low interest rate environment, a low inflation environment during those years and interest rate environment during those years. But nevertheless, it has not gone up and arguably has not kept up with inflation. So Social Security benefits have, in real terms, and that means adjusted for inflation, have gone down, have been reduced to the tune of 30% over the last 30 years. That's very interesting. All right, so I don't want to talk about Social Security. I know we're going to get a call or a text from somebody saying, how long is Social Security going to last? And I'll just go ahead and answer that right now. It's not going away, but if it isn't funded in a different way, it is projected to disappear by the year 2038. So, guess who's going to pay for that, Jenna? There's going to be some tax revenue redirected.
I think that's a good reminder that somebody has to pay for it, and we have to put it into our future.
Right. So the absence of defined benefit plans, Social Security benefits going down in real terms. Very important. The other thing about defined benefit plans, a lot of them, and these are pension plans, a lot of pension plans, the employee is offered a buyout. Instead of the employer having to fund it and risk the employee living into their 90s, and to have a survivor's benefit, they'll just pay them out a lump sum. So a lot of pension benefits go away anyway because of the lump sum election that an employee can take when they retire. So that's in terms of the employer's obligation to make those pension payments to the employees, that's just de-risking their pension obligation. Understandable, and certainly in most instances, an employee is not obligated to take that. But I'll tell you this: anytime we meet with an employee whose employer has a defined benefit plan, a pension plan that pays them something for the balance of their lifetime, and that employee is single, we strongly encourage them to consider taking the lump sum payment. Because if you don't have a spouse, there is no spousal benefit, right? Mm-hmm. A pension plan does not drop down to your kids or your friends or other relatives, right?
Right.
So just something to take note of.
So you recommend taking the lump sum?
If you're single.
If you're single.
If you're single.
Single, not mingling. You're so flying solo.
Hold on. If you're single, possibly if you're terminally ill. There's other reasons. Sometimes the present value of the pension stream does not match up to the lump sum payment that they're offering just to get that employee or more employees off the books and have their pension obligation minimized. All right, enough of that. But this statistic blew me away. Only 6.8% of retired Americans are receiving benefits from a defined benefit plan, a pension, and these are three. three at the same time. Social Security, which, come on, everybody gets that if you paid into it.
Sure.
You know, and with some caveats. And lastly, a defined contribution plan. Only 6.8% of Americans. We're going to a news break.
Yes.
Let's see what we've got.
Hey, Mark, what do we got coming up in the news?
Loop Drive and Ethridge Road.
All right. Well, we'll check in with the local news after a Fox News update. And then, of course, I do have questions coming in, Bob.
Okay, great.
Okay. 850-437-1620. We've got more with Winning with Mainstay when we come back.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. Our military continues facing tough questions on the situation in Afghanistan.
This is a dangerous, perilous environment. It's very dynamic, it's very fluid, and we're doing the best we can to move as many people as we can, as fast as we can.
Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby saying the U.S. is in daily communication with the Taliban on security at the airport and that the focus is still to end the mission August 31st. Sales of new homes rose 1% in July, and the world is getting lyrics to a never-before-heard Beatles song.
In Paul McCartney's upcoming book, The Lyrics, he's expected to include previously unseen lyrics to an unrecorded Beatles song, Tell Me Who He Is. The book will also include handwritten lyric sheets and previously unseen personal photographs and drawings.
Fox's Monica DeLuca. America's listening to Fox News.
If anyone knows the area, and if they're in that area, anytime yesterday from 3 p.m. to about 6:30, we're curious if they had seen anything that might.
10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 82, mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Escambia County School District leaders plan to discuss how COVID-19 continues to impact the in-person learning experience. After roughly 2 weeks to survey the situation, local schools seeing dozens of students turn up positive, others forced to learn remotely because of close contact. A Molino woman wants to build an RV park on Neal Road in Cantonment. If approved, the Magnolia RV Park would have 24 spaces. North Escambia reports the park would be located on the north side of Neal Road, just west of Highway 95A. They say the plans call for 9 out of 26 protected trees on the site to be removed.
Possible today, about a 40% chance that you'll be picking up some showers. Otherwise, temperatures warming near 91 degrees under mostly sunny skies with heat index values as high as 105. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
89 in Pensacola, 88 in Gulf Breeze. It's 91 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. After testing how much they could get away with, the hacker behind the biggest cryptocurrency heist of all time has returned all the stolen funds. Poly Network, a platform in the decentralized finance space, was hit by a major attack this month, which saw the hacker or hackers steal more than $600 million worth of digital tokens. But the hacker didn't run off with the haul. They instead opened a dialogue with Poly Network and returned the stolen funds after instructing Poly to improve its security. The Oreo cookie shake is coming back to Applebee's thanks to country singer Walker Hayes and his song Fancy Like. Applebee's ditched the item when it slimmed down its menu during the pandemic, but after the song came out in June and started to go viral, the chain decided to bring back the shake for a limited time. On Wall Street, stocks modestly higher. The Dow Industrials up 74 at 35,409. The Nasdaq's up 78. The S&P 500 up 11. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's 1 in 6. School lunch might be their only meal each day, and it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Done yourself. Wow.
This is okay.
Very pleasant.
Yes. Sometimes you just have to wait for that. Ready?
Drum.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got a lot to get through.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
All right. So what we left off on before the news break, and thank you for that, Mark, only 6.8% of retired Americans are receiving the big three. Okay, that being a pension, Social Security benefits, and distributions from what used to be their defined contribution plan, or in other words, their IRA. So some people leave the money in their 401k, their 403b, their 401a, and they just take it from there, their distributions, their retirement distributions. They shouldn't do that mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons, and that's for another show. But for those that actually rolled it over to an IRA, something you should do, only 6.8% of Americans are receiving money from what was their defined contribution plan, you know, their 401k, 403b, 401a, their pension, also known as a defined benefit plan, and Social Security. Only 6.8% of Americans. That number has come down considerably over the last 25 years. But we're going to move on to, some other reasons that people are not saving as much in retirement, or why or how their retirement savings opportunities have changed. Okay. And again, we've covered the reduction or the availability of pension plans, Social Security benefits going down in real terms. And another reason is so many people, actually 41% of millennials, Jenna, 41% of millennials, these are your people.
My people.
That's right.
We were talking about millennials, though. Okay, so
right.
Only 40%.
41%
of millennials.
Have access to a retirement plan with their employer.
Ooh.
Okay. And that's because so many of you are 1099 employees, starting your own business, doing your own thing. You know, I don't want to work for the man, right? You know, and that's
a
great.
A lot of also, and I'm not sure if this, you can even explain more. I see a lot more of individuals my age, men and women, not only starting their own business, but starting like their own MLM.
Right.
And so I don't know if you can do
right. So
anything like that.
So someday, you know, or sometime we're going to read something about this. But, you know, my parents and their contemporaries, okay, not only did they work, you know, for a company or for an employer, you know, and we call it, you know, working for the man, you know, whatever. But they were employed by somebody, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Not only
normal.
Did they did do that their whole life, but they stayed with one employer their whole life.
For
you
like
know?
40 plus years.
Yeah, you know, the whole, you know, the
yes.
whole, you know, you worked there, you stayed there, you retired there, okay? Now, I think people in, you know, my age, you know, or my contemporaries, you know, I never at your age thought about starting my own business. That just wasn't it wasn't something you did.
Really?
No. And certainly some people did. But the way I wanted to go and the way I was, I think, programmed, you go get a good job with good benefits, mm-hmm. you know, hey, You got kids, you need that, you know, wife,
and that
kids,
was success.
And everything. And that was, yeah.
I feel like nowadays, it's if you don't have a startup or you're not owning a small business or an MLM and work from home.
You're holding yourself back, and
you're not successful.
That's right. Okay. We need you millennials, okay? Because I think this country maybe has suffered through, you know, a couple generations of folks like, you know, me, my parents, and, that worked, for somebody and didn't go out on their own. But I think part of that, Jenna, is people are getting married later in life. They're holding off on having children, and that need for benefits and everything else isn't as necessary when you're single. Still necessary to have benefits. So, again, our point is this. 41% of millennials don't even have access to any sort of retirement plan. And I'm talking about with their employer. And again, that's because they work for themselves. They're 1099 employees. Maybe they work part-time. They're not a full-time employee. And they didn't have access to it, although that's changing as well. Okay. So if these opportunities and the availability of these plans aren't there, of course people aren't saving as much. Okay, so let me get to some other percents. 1 in 3 Americans right now has nothing saved for retirement. 1 in 3 adult Americans has nothing saved for retirement. That means nothing in any sort of retirement plan, Roth IRA, pension, any sort of defined contribution plan like a 401k, 403b. 1 in 3 Americans, that's mind-boggling, okay? 1 in 3 adult Americans, 42% of baby boomers, okay? Those are my people, Jenna, have nothing saved in a retirement account, okay?
You said 1 in what?
42% of baby boomers, people my age, have nothing saved in a retirement account.
In a retirement. Okay? So they might have a savings.
They might have money in a non-retirement account, you know, a non-IRA, a personal account, or even a joint account with their significant other, okay? But in an account that is labeled a retirement account, what we call, you know, a qualified account, 0. 42% of us.
Wow.
Okay. Not as bad as you guys. Okay.
No, we're still.
41% of you have no. You don't even have the option. Okay.
Wow.
To contribute to an employer-sponsored plan. 70% of all baby boomers have less than $5,000 in a retirement account. That's mind-boggling. Okay. So. This all leads us to, okay, what is the message here? The message is this. You have to save for retirement. If you are a 1099 employee, or if you are an employee that really has no benefits with your employer, you need to go open your own traditional IRA and contribute to it. Or if you're not making a lot of money right now, if you're not in, you know, what we would call your peak earning years, and if you're young, you certainly want to make a contribution to a Roth IRA. We've talked about Roth IRAs and the power of investing in a Roth IRA. And what we tell folks, typically young people, the Roth IRA, first of all, didn't even come into being until 1998, okay? So just the availability has been over the last 20, 22, 23 years, okay? Just the opportunity to invest in a Roth IRA. But what we share with our clients is this. What if we told you there's an account you can put your money in? You never pay taxes on the dividends, the interest, the capital gains for the life of the account. You never pay taxes on the the money before you put it in there.
Of course.
So you're taking after-tax dollars. But when the account is open for the life of the account, the entire life of the account, You never pay taxes on anything. So it is not growing tax deferred. It is growing tax free for the entire life of the account. That's very powerful. It gets even better. What if we told you that the ripe old age, and this is what people can't even fathom in their 20s, 30s, at the age of 72, when required minimum distributions are exacted upon traditional IRA accounts, you have to take out nothing. There are no RMDs with a Roth IRA for the owner. Now, if you leave them to somebody, they will have to take RMDs. But for the owner, during their lifetime, there are no required minimum distributions. So you have an account that's growing tax-free. You never have to take out required minimum distributions. You never have to take anything out during your life. And when you pull money out, if you choose to pull money out, you do not pay taxes on it. That's an amazing account. Now, the rub is this. If you are under the age of 50, you can only contribute $6,000 a year. But for anybody, any young person that doesn't need the immediate tax deduction that you're granted with a traditional IRA contribution, making a contribution to a Roth IRA is incredibly powerful, especially if you do it every year. If you do it every year in any amount you can, up to $6,000 if you're under the age of 50, and up to $7,000 if you're over the age of 50. That's something that is so powerful over time that you'll look back through the years and be so happy you made that small sacrifice, right?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, it pays off in the long run. Hey, what's the difference between a pension plan and a 401k?
Okay, yeah. A pension plan is a defined benefit plan. That's okay. Where your employer puts money away for you. Now, you don't pay much attention to it. You're not managing it. It's not a self-directed plan. It's the benefit is defined, okay? That's why they call it a DBP, a defined benefit plan, based on the number of years and what you were paid, and when you reach a certain age, you're going to get a pension payout based on those criteria. That's what a pension is. A pension is a defined benefit plan. The 401k is a defined contribution plan. That's where your employer sets up a plan. In the private sector, it's called a 401k. There are other ones, 403bs, but the big one is a 401k, and that's what our listener asked. The 401k may or may not have a matching contribution, but the employee elects a certain percent and can contribute up to, I believe it's 18,000. $19,000 a year.
So
I think it's $19,500 a year if you're under age 50, and up to $26,000 per year if you're over age 50. There is a cap.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, you just can't take that much of your income and make a contribution to this plan. You're going to have to pay some. Remember, this is before tax dollars. Okay, if you're contributing to the traditional portion of your 401k and not your Roth feature. So there is a cap on 401ks, and it's $26,000 if you're over the age of 50, and I believe $19,500 if you're under the age of 50.
Okay.
And that's for 401ks and other defined contribution plans.
Very good.
That's a great question.
Hey, just a reminder, 850-437-1620. If you have a question, you can text or you can call. We have about 10 minutes left in the show with Bob Burgi. Here is a question. I am 64 and retired. Should I take Social Security right now?
And, you know, that's a question where, you know, where more information is really needed. But, I share, the only time I think you should take Social Security before what is known as FRA, full retirement age, is if, number one, if you absolutely need the money, if you've got to have the money, go ahead and turn on your Social Security benefits. You paid into it, and they're yours to elect to take. The other circumstance that I would consider taking Social Security benefits is if you are single and there isn't a spouse that may depend on your benefits when you've passed away, if you are the higher earner and have the higher Social Security benefits. So if you're single, if you absolutely need the money, and then the last criteria is if you're terminally ill and single, you know, that it may make sense. Every individual is different. Every set of circumstances is different. But at age 64, unless there's one of those elements, I would say you would need to wait to your FRA, which is full retirement age, which is anywhere between now the ages of 66 or 60 and 67, depending on the year you were born.
Okay, very good. All right, so, and you were saying also only in cases of like absolute emergency.
Yeah, that's usually the first thing we ask. How much do you need the money? Are you going back to work? Are you, of course we're going to find out, is this individual single? What their health is, but the first thing is, how much do you need it? Are you going back to work? At 64, that's another thing that in this Money Crashers article that that we're being, another reason that retirees aren't people. The other reason that Americans are not contributing enough to their retirement savings is, they are living for today, they are living longer, and they are working longer, okay? If you're working longer, you're sort of squeezing that retirement time of your life. And, we've got people, we know people that are retiring well into their 70s. They're creeping up on their life expectancy. So if retirement is going to last that long and you're working all these years, perhaps you don't need to save as much for retirement. Some of the statistics on this were very interesting. In just 1990, 30 years ago, 38% of those aged 62 to 64 were working, okay? 38% of 62 to 64-year-olds were working. By the year 2015, that number, 38%, had risen to 53%, okay? Here in 2021, that percent, 38%, has doubled to almost 70% of 62 to 64-year-olds who were working are still working. The message there is very few people are retiring before the age of 62. We're working longer, we're living longer, and we're saving less.
Wow.
Not a great formula.
No, I was going to say that's not the best recipe for life right there. No. 850-437-1620 to get those texts in. We do have a caller. Ann from Gulf Breeze is on the phone. Good morning, Ann. What's your question for Bob?
Good morning. Bob, back to what you were speaking about earlier about the possibility of Social Security going away and I think you said 2038. Would that not play into whether or not someone decides to go ahead and start taking Social Security at the earliest age because it may run out?
We get that question a lot. I just mentioned the folks that should consider taking it before full retirement age. Those that are single, those that just absolutely need the money, and those that, are perhaps terminally ill or don't have a long life expectancy. I guess maybe the other people I should throw into there, people that have zero confidence that Social Security, that reservoir of money will be shored up for the balance of their lifetime. I'm not one of those, and I don't know if you are or not, Ann. But I feel like if I paid into something and, and I'm getting a statement from the Department of Treasury every year saying, if you continue to work, these will be your Social Security benefits at age 62, 67, and 70. Not that it's a contract, because these are your estimated benefits, but I feel like the government's going to come through on that for me. I can't, you know, there are no guarantees, but I feel that, you know, our Social Security revenue, you know, the taxes, FICA, you know, there are going to be changes there pointed north. We're going to be paying a lot more into that, so that all of these people that have paid so much into it can actually receive their benefits for the balance of their lifetime. And life expectancy is increasing every year. So, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to turn it around. What are your thoughts on that? And by the way, before you answer, there are studies showing that the Social Security fund will be completely depleted as early as 1934. I've seen 1937, 38, but certainly all in the, what did I say, 19? I meant 2030, 2038.
I know
but,
what you mean.
Okay, but in 2030, we keep on talking about the 1990s, so I'm stuck in that century. So by the year 2030, somewhere between 2034 and 2038, the Social Security Fund will be depleted. We were talking about the 1990s and 1998 and how that wasn't long ago. 2034 is not that far from now, is it?
No.
Yeah.
And I will be right in that age, in the mid or late 60s at that point.
Yeah. And
I would hate to wait until I'm 65 or 67 and only be able to draw from Social Security for a couple of years.
But you need to balance that with what you think your life expectancy is going to be. And if you're retiring and you elect to take Social Security benefits at 62 and you're getting a 1.3% increase per year and you live to be 92 or 95, it's just not going to be enough, is it?
Can you continue to work if you start drawing at 62? Or are there restrictions there?
Well, that is complicated. But the fact of the matter is you can work and you can take benefits. However, you are going to be rung up in terms of taxes. You put it this way, and if you are working at age 62, do not, under any circumstances, elect to take your Social Security benefits at that age. You got it?
Okay.
But that's a more in-depth conversation. We've got about 20 seconds left, okay?
Yeah.
And thank you for your call. And we thank everybody for tuning in today. If you'd like to discuss any matter, financially, investment, or even tax planning, please call us at our office. The number is 850-437-3127. And, you know, we hope to hear from you. And if we don't hear from you, we will talk to you next week.
That's right. Thank you, Bob, so much.
Okay. Thanks, Jenna.
And, yes, join us tomorrow morning. It's Wellness Wednesday. Dr. Angie joins us for Positively Persistent, and we'll get an update with Santa Rosa County. Take care, and we'll see you then.